Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration. I'm Vicki Newton. Thank you so much for joining us. The biopic about rap megastar Tupac Shakur is playing in theaters around the country. One of the most important people in Tupac's life was his mother, Afeni Shakur, known in her own right for her work in the Black Panther movement. Actress Jasmine Guy, yes, that Jasmine Guy who played Whitley Gilbert in A Different World, was friends with Tupac and his mom. Jasmine also is author of the only book about Afeni Shakur, and she joins us today to talk about the book, Evolution of a Revolutionary. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We want to say at the outset that you didn't have anything to do with the movie, but the book is all yours, and what a great book. Let's go back to the beginning. Tell us how you became friends with Afeni Shakur.
Well, I met Afeni through Tupac. He had done an episode of A Different World, and we all started hanging out, and I guess about, it didn't seem like that much time had gone by since I knew Tupac before he was shot in New York, and it was a few days after he was shot that I met his mother. I knew who she was, but we hadn't met yet.
And you describe
until that happened,
seeing her in the hallway, and initially you thought the aunt was actually Tupac's mom.
Yes, the sisters always stayed together. So Gloria and Afeni were always together, and I had not met Afeni yet, so I wasn't sure which one was who. And, you know, they embraced me, and it wasn't long after that until we realized that Tupac wasn't going to be able to, he didn't want to stay in the hospital or at his girlfriend's house, so they called me to see if I could keep him while he was convalescing from the wounds. He had, I think, five bullet mm-hmm. wounds that he was healing from, and he didn't feel safe sitting up in the hospital bed.
What was that like to find yourself in the middle of the headlines, not just with your own career, but with a mega star as well in the rap industry?
Well, he was 21 at the time and rising, very talented, of course. But it was more about healing him and getting him strong because he had a lot to deal with on the business level and to be there for his family because that was a very traumatizing time. People think about, we hear about getting shot so much that we've become a little callous to how devastating it is to know that, you know, somebody had held a gun in your face and wanted you dead. Mm. So for me, it was more being there for the family and the trauma they were all going through. In a very close-knit family, the Shakurs and the Cox family, and I just felt happy that I could help in some way and that they allowed me to come in to their very close circuit. And also that, Tupac could chill a little bit and try and get better.
I think you refer to them as a clan, C-L-A-N.
Yes. They're friends from way back. You know, it was hard to tell when I met the whole family who was blood relatives and who wasn't because they don't roll like that. Cousins, friends from, you know, back before the kids were even born, they're still friends. They're a very tight group of people, and that's part of how they survive, you know, mm-hmm. is by being there for each other. And so when he was shot, they all got to New York. Those who weren't already there got there, you know, within the next mm-hmm. day.
Connect the dots for us between Tupac's life's work and his mom's work in the Black Panther movement.
Well, there were several things that they had in common. They lived kind of parallel. They both had very big political voices at a very young age. Afeni was in the Panther Movement from age 19 to 21 years old. And that's also the same time that Tupac rose as a solo artist. They were both incarcerated for 11 months. They both came out of a culture that had voices on both coasts, and then those coasts started battling each other. So there were a lot of parallels in the Fanny's life and then her son's life.
Would you say it was a bit like passing the baton almost, because Fanny was pregnant when she was incarcerated with Tupac?
Well, they are also they're both highly intelligent. They're both, they both fight for the underdog and for the person that doesn't have a voice. They're both highly articulate. So there were a lot of things that they had in common other than their need to speak up for the political or anti-disestablishment movement. And they are both very honest people. You know, they have to do something that is true to their heart. So she raised a child with her principles and morals, and then, you know, he was also there. He could act, he could write, he could, of course, rap. So, you know, his time was always ripe, I think, for who he was as an individual, and he was raised to be that, to be an individual. He also had a very artistic background, because Fanny had him acting when he was very young, and then he went to a performing arts high school. So he had that background, too.
You speak of both of them in the present tense, which, tell me, is that indicative of the deep loss you have suffered as a friend?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, I have trouble when my friends leave. You know, to delete them from my phone or not keep them in my heart, you know. I think in my mind I still have conversations with them. I was very close to Fanny, so I've missed her friendship a lot. You know, being able to call her and always getting her fresh perspective on things, you know. She was a very dear friend.
I like the distinction you make with the word resist for Fanny. You talk, and she talked about resistance. And tell us about the meaning of that word for her and how she applied that throughout her life and what we can take away from that, especially in the political climate these days.
I think that resistance has a very strong energy. And sometimes the resistance of something does turn into a movement, but I don't know that every time someone resists that they think they're starting a movement or that it will be publicized and they'll become famous and everything will go to the Supreme Court and get fixed. I think that resistance starts on a very specific and small level. It could be at your school, it could be with a teacher and your kid, and it could start there. It can start on a bus, as we know. It can start with a sanitation worker strike. But those movements speak for all of those that need to resist. And it is a scary place, because obviously people do not do it a lot because there are consequences and repercussions to that resistance of the status quo.
There's something about a person who is of small stature connected with the word resist, but Fanny Shakur and both were spoken of in the same sentence. You talk about the conversations, and the book is just one conversation after another between the two of you. What do you wish more of us knew about the principles that she shared?
Well, part of my purpose for showing our friendship in the book was that I wanted people to get to know her as I did. So there may have been preconceptions that I had of her, especially since I had been studying, like, the women of the Panther movement, Elaine Brown, Kathleen Cleaver, Assata Shakur. So it was like there's a tendency for us to make them like a folk hero in a fable. And my opportunity and my greatest gift from her has been that she allowed me to get to know her for who she really was. She never sugarcoated anything. She never made more of something than it really was. She wasn't afraid to tell the underbelly of a story. Mm-hmm. Even while I was writing the book, there were parts of the book that I wanted to omit because I didn't want people not to like her or not to understand her. And I also felt like certain things, you know, and she said, look, we're going to tell this whole story or we're not going to tell it at all. Because the whole point is for people to read it and see themselves in me. Mm-hmm. And if they don't see themselves in my story and because I've omitted things, mm-hmm. they're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing she really cared about. She wanted to talk about her recovery from crack cocaine. She wanted to talk about being a single mother. She wanted to talk about the incarceration and the runaway of all the men in their lives when they were young Panther women, some of whom were children, mm-hmm. Because the men went underground or they went to Africa, but they left the women and the children to kind of fend for themselves. And they bound together the women, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fanny was very big on, you know, a bailout kind of collection, because when she was incarcerated, she realized that so many of those women in there had low bails. Mm-hmm. They just weren't getting bailed out. Mm-hmm. And so she would raise money to bail them out before she even bailed herself out, or Joan Byrd, because there were two women arrested with the Panther 21. And it was the two women, Fanny and Joan Byrd, and then the other 19.
Can you tell us a part of the book that you wanted to omit? Because I do recall reading that Fanny said, I want to tell this story to help people with problems. So what part mm-hmm. did you think might have been better served by being omitted?
Well, you know, I have to also say I had never written before. So sometimes I was there trying my own insecurity, you know, my need to back up off of something. You know, my initial thing
honest.
Isn't really what a writer does. A writer goes to the core, to the heart, to the hope, to the pulse of the matter. And in her telling me about what life was like, you know, while she was on crack, even though, you know, in retrospect, I'm just glad she got off of it because she wasn't on it that long. Mm-hmm. But it's the only time she lied to her kids and she wasn't there for her daughter. And the Song of Setua is about Afeni's daughter. Mm-hmm. And I had to interview her. It's the only chapter in the book that I didn't interview Afeni. Because mm-hmm. Afeni said, I really don't know what Setua did mm-hmm. while I was getting high. That's part of the problem, is you just disappear. Mm-hmm. So that was painful. It was painful for me to, you know, to get that information from Setua. And it was painful because that's the hardest thing, I think, for a woman to do, is to say, you know, I failed my kid during this time right here. Mm-hmm. That's really hard to say. Mm-hmm. So that mixed with my need to protect her, my own sense of privacy, you know, where my boundaries lie for my own self. Mm-hmm. I think, was making me back up off of it. It wasn't because I didn't think it would make for moving or inspiring story, you know. And I think that was her part, you know. You're the writer of this book. You, and my mother told me the same thing, because my mother was editing the book for me, and she said there are parts of the book that are very detailed, and then there are parts where you just check out. And I realized I was checking out emotionally, because it did hurt.
Uh-huh. So
you know, it hurt. Mm-hmm. It hurt to hear it. It hurt to repeat it. It hurt to disclose it. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried to quit that book 3 times. I wasn't, like, trying to be, you know, another hyphenated. I didn't need any more hyphens. I was mm-hmm. good. Because mm-hmm. it was such a bold and honest account. And it was one that we did with Tupac's blessing, because we talked to him about it before he got shot again. Mm-hmm. And then when that happened, we put the project aside. And for 7 years, Fanny and I and the family stayed in touch, but it was never again about that project. I just mm-hmm. thought that project was dead mm-hmm. with Tupac, you know. And so there's a 7-year gap from the time I started writing the book and interviewing her, and then I picked up 7 years later, which is why the title is Evolution of a mm-hmm. Revolutionary, because I had another fierce title. It was The 9 Lives of a Panther, mm-hmm. but whatever. I realized with that 7-year gap and all she had gone through after losing Pac and after going through all the legal cases and being thrust into the heart of the music industry, there were things about her that had changed. Mm-hmm. And she would tell me a story, and I say, no, you told me that this is what happened. Or you told me you didn't like your daddy. She said, well, I don't feel that way anymore.
Oh,
and that's why I came up with Evolution, because she had evolved. Mm-hmm. She had found a way and a place to put her anger. She had found a place to forgive. She had become very clear-headed and was doing things that, you know, when I first interviewed her, she never thought she'd be able to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dealing with that litigation and contracts and paying off artists that she felt had been ignored, and, you know, doing all the posthumous albums, and, you know, all of a sudden she's like the heart of this business. So there was a reason that book did that, you know, that it had that break in there.
Do you think that?
Because I think it told a very different story by the time we ended it.
And do you think that she was able to do the things that you just outlined after Tupac died, because she had no choice, but it was her way of keeping him alive? What do you think compelled her, gave her that strength?
I think she knew that she was the one to do it, you know. And again, she's highly intelligent, so it wasn't like she couldn't understand what was going on, or if she was in over her head. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That might have been different. It might have been irresponsible to do that if you're not, you know. But she was highly competent to do it, and she knew him the best, mm-hmm. you know. And she also knew how Hollywood worked, and that certain things would be omitted that were very important to her. Like making sure people got artist, writer credit that were in the studio with her son when certain songs were made. Mm-hmm. If they weren't listed, then, you know, a lot of those people were not getting royalties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was important to her, because mm-hmm. it was important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, starting the Tupac Amaru Shakur Center was important to her to see that through here in Atlanta. So I think she rose to the occasion because she knew she was the one to do that, or else it would have been left in the hands of people that didn't know him.
What were her thoughts after almost 20 years past Tupac's murder that it was still unsolved?
You popped out. What did you say?
Her thoughts almost 20 years after Tupac was murdered, and the case still was not solved. What were her thoughts about that?
We didn't really talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read things, but I really didn't bring that back to the family. Mm-hmm. I knew they were dealing with a lot, and,
sure.
you know, if she wanted to talk about it, she could with me, but we really didn't discuss that.
She passed away last year, and do you recall your last conversation?
Yes, I had called her. I think it was probably about my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for a while, and her daughter, Setua, has a teenage daughter as well. So she was like, you need to call Setua, and y'all need to compare notes, and, you know. And I did that, and that was the last time I spoke to her. I had spoken to her sister, but I hadn't spoken to her since then. Yeah. Had no idea. I mean, if I had... She had moved to Northern California, so I didn't see her as often. Mm-hmm. So, anyway,
you know,
obviously, I still miss her. She's still talking to me, so I'm good.
You know, you
and
said...
And I'm so glad that, you know, you're helping keep her...
You mentioned that you didn't want any more hyphens necessarily on your name or any more credits to your name, but this is... a very distinct honor as a friend, and it's also the only book written about Tupac's mom. What are your thoughts
wow.
about being chosen to chronicle her life?
Well, you know, originally my idea was to do a movie about her years as a Panther, and she kept pushing to tell more of her story. She's like, that's only 2 years of my life, and I don't want, you know, when I was met her, she was already late 40s. And I said, okay, so let's do this. Let's do a movie about this, and then we'll get somebody to write a book.
No, we'll
and
get
I was
somebody
thinking,
to write a book.
You know, Sonia Sanchez, Toni Morrison, Nikki Giovanni, Pearl Clegg. You know, this is what
uh-huh.
I'm thinking. And the fact that I was able to do it, I felt this huge kind of responsibility about telling someone else's story.
Mm-hmm.
So my process with her was very intimate, and nothing went past like me and my mom. You know, after I got it to a certain level, it went to a fanny, it came back to us. So nothing was without her, you know. And like I said, along the way I grew as well. So nothing on my hat, on my side. Being a part of that family, you know, has been another great joy, you know, the little ones too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the title of the book is Evolution of a Revolutionary, written by Jasmine Guy. It is the life story of Afeni Shakur, Tupac Shakur's mom. Thank you for joining us to talk about the evolution of a revolutionary.
Thank you so much, Vicki, for having me. You have a good day.
And you're listening to The Village Celebration. Well, I can't wait for everyone to hear the interview. Oh. Oh.